Great to have you with us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Pardon me, I am Jerry Upshur, along with Debbie Giorgiani and you. And you have been the key part of the program for about almost 5.5 years. And so we are grateful for your listenership and for the affiliates carrying the program. Our show team is in place, Michael, Jeff, and Ryan. Ryan is on the phones. And we know you're going to have something to say about today's topic because, Debbie, we're going to revisit the COVID pandemic, but from maybe a little bit of a different angle than a lot of people have been talking about.
That's true. We're going to talk about evangelization during the pandemic, evangelizing efforts during this whole COVID-19, right? Have you seen new ways, creative ways to reach people with the gospel message during the pandemic? We want to hear about it. Even if there's some negative things that are happening that I'm going to share, we want to talk about it. Here's the number, 833-288-3986. Okay, now I'm convinced, Jerry, we have this type of working relationship where we really overly sympathize for one another because I'm the one that's under the weather and sick. And then you started off the show coughing and...
Yeah, I just suddenly got that little frog in there, but I think I have expelled him now, so we'll be okay on my end.
Okay, good. But thank you for the sympathy. I appreciate it. And for everybody that's been praying, I just want to say real quickly, thanks so much, you guys. You guys are awesome. I had a lousy, lousy weekend. I'm very much under the weather. I have some medical issues, very serious ones happening. I'm working on that. My mom had a lousy weekend. It was horrible. And my beautiful Gracie, who we talk about all the time, she's not doing well, and she's transitioning. I think she's going to be entering doggy heaven soon. Very, very, very hard weekend. So thank you. And speaking about emails and stuff, can we just get this on the table real quickly? Please call in. Talk about evangelization efforts during the pandemic, 833-288-3986. We get an abundance of emails and texts. We love you guys. Thank you so much. It's getting harder and harder for us to return your messages, but we read everything. We both of us read, you know, pretty much everything, but if we cannot, we take turns, right, Jerry? And we read everything. Please know that we're working on a really cool method coming up at right at the very beginning of 2021. Yay, 2021's almost here.
Can't wait to turn the page on this calendar.
Turn the page. That's what we should call it, turn the page. So we're working on a unique thing that we can do to keep us all connected in an easier way. So folks, bear with us, be patient. We're so sorry, we cannot, but we read everything. So that's the good news. You know, sometimes you send emails and people say, do they even read it? We do. So that's awesome. Jerry?
All right, phone number again is 833-288-3986. And we're talking today about sharing the faith, evangelizing, helping to bring people to Christ during this coronavirus pandemic. This could be things that you have done. It could be some things that you have seen being done. Maybe your parish has gotten creative. My parish just recently got creative, and I can share that, what they have done in just a moment. But maybe you know somebody or people with COVID-19 who aren't particularly religious, and maybe they've turned to you, or maybe you have found an open door to share the truth of Jesus Christ and his church with them. Maybe it's somebody at work who just sees that you still have this beautiful hope. They can see it in your eyes, whereas everybody else is just kind of worried and scared and fearful and discouraged and all of that. Maybe it's a family member who hasn't been practicing the faith, and they're looking at the signs of the times, and maybe they've turned to you and said, hey, I want to hear a little bit more about this faith thing that you embrace so beautifully. So a lot of directions we can go with this at 833-288-3986.
I want to share something real quickly. I learned early on from a wonderful priest who actually passed away. It's going to be 2 years at the beginning of next year. And he was incredible. Father Doug Lorig, from Arizona. A lot of people have seen him on EWTN. He appeared several times on EWTN. And Father Doug, through the pastoral provision of John Paul II, came in from being an Episcopal priest. And he was a married Catholic priest, had 4 children, beautiful wife. His wife was my son's preschool teacher. he was amazing. He has social work, he was a social worker from his background. And I just wanted to say that I learned how to really evangelize through him. He taught us all how to do it. Because of, he brought with him such a deep understanding of how to speak and preach and share the gospel message in an authentic way that it reached people right to their to their very soul. So much so that Marian conferences nationwide wanted him to speak at their events. And I want to share real quickly a little later on just just two quotes from a wonderful priest here in Arizona that commented after he died of what that really means for evangelization. And why do I bring this up right now? Because I think there's a lot of ways that people think they should evangelize. Some are great, some are good, and in my humble opinion, some are awful. They're just awful. I don't know how they think they're going to accomplish what they think they want to do is, and bring people into the faith. So let's talk about it. Do you think during this pandemic, some of the creative ways have been good and it's deepened people's faith life? Or do you think it could actually have hurt and wounded people? Let's talk about it, because let's face it, social media is now being used as a way to evangelize. And I don't necessarily, my humble opinion again, I don't necessarily think it's the best way to do it, especially when you put words that really are very harmful to the spirit. So go with us on this and see what happens. What do you think, Jerry? You know where I'm going with this. I've never been a fan of social media when it comes to that. I know we all have to use it for work and for ministry and everything. And I understand everybody needs to have a big following and all that kind of stuff. But the problem is sometimes it's the devil's playground.
Sometimes, yeah, a lot of times it is, in fact. And so that's, I think it's a good point, good angle we can pursue on this conversation as well as many others. The lines are starting to fill up here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. The phone number for you to join the conversation is 833-288-3986. Have you had maybe unique and unexpected opportunities, I might say, to share the faith with others during this pandemic these last several months? 833-288-3986. Maybe it's even your fellow parishioners who are discouraged and confused about why, in many cases, we weren't able to go to Mass publicly or receive the sacraments. Have you been that support for people? Have you found creative ways of evangelizing during this pandemic? Please join us, 833-288-3986. Well, we're getting the week off to a start here on a Monday, talking about evangelization during the coronavirus pandemic. Hopefully, God willing, we are all looking for evangelization opportunities, no matter what is going on in our country, around the world, socially, culturally, and so forth. But we have definitely had some unusual and, I think, unique and special opportunities to share our faith during the last several months. And if you've been a part of that, if God has put it on your heart to evangelize others, help to share the faith with them in a certain way, please join us at 833-288-3986. And of course, during this time and any time as well, the sacrifice of the Mass goes on. It must go on. And EWTN offers the sacrifice of the Mass live weekdays at 8 a.m. Eastern. And to be sure you don't miss out, we can send you a link to your email inbox every day. So visit EWTN.com and click on subscribe, and then you'll know every day that the Mass is soon to be on the air.
Beautiful. We're going to get to the phones. We do have a couple open phone lines. Please join us in this conversation about evangelization. We are all called to do it by our baptism. So please weigh in on this. 833-288-3986. And please pardon our scratchy voices. That's what you y'all get to put up with today. And we're sorry, but not much we can do about it. We're hanging in there. So real quickly, Jerry, swinging back to what I was sharing about my hero, my mentor, the pastor that I worked for many years, who really, my faith life just went to great heights because of him. He taught us all, you know, with perpetual adoration and his love for Mary and the saints. And he was very close with Saint Therese of Lisieux. And so many things. But when Father Doug Lorig died, one of the priests that I worked with as well, he was the associate pastor at our parish. You folks may or may not know him. We know him very well here in Arizona. His name is Father Billy Costco. Father Billy Costco made some comments about Father Doug, and this is what he said. And this is after he died. So think about this for a moment when you talk about evangelization. He complimented his former pastor's building up of the parish physically and spiritually to foster an authentic experience of the faith, to foster an authentic experience of the faith. That's so beautifully said by Father Billy Costco. Amazing. Then he went on to say, he turned the parish into a real spiritual powerhouse. And he said, Mary and the saints were his two big things. And he taught classes and spoke at Marian conferences nationwide, and it goes on and on. My point being is that you see what I'm talking about, folks, when you evangelize in a real, beautiful, authentic way. Now, mind you, he had a social work, he was a social worker background, okay? And so he brought with it this understanding of human development and where people are at. And he mind, body, spirit. He was very integrated like that. And look what happened. He turned the parish into this beautiful spiritual powerhouse. That is evangelization, right? And it's amazing how people, and so much so, not to brag, at one point we were the biggest in ministry and in parish size, I believe, in the state of Arizona, if not in the whole, some people were saying even in the country. So it was gigantic. I mean, it was wall-to-wall people were coming into the faith and living out their faith in an authentic way. Pretty cool, Jerry. I mean, that's evangelization. Now, well, how can we do that during the pandemic? You know, that's what we're talking about today. But you see what it is possible to make things happen in a big way, even during the pandemic.
Well, Father Doug was a man with a vision, kind of a prophetic vision, if you will. And we all should try to have that. Ask God for that. You know, if you have trouble thinking of ways to evangelize or share the faith with people or help them out during difficult times, just ask God to do that, because as the saying goes, sometimes we may be the only Jesus people will ever meet, or, you know, we may be the only Bible they ever read in the sense of you know, sharing our faith, especially scripturally and so forth. So we need to lead by example, and we should pray for that that gift and the opportunities to do so. I agree with Debbie completely.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the creative ways during the pandemic we can evangelize, or we have seen evangelization taking place, or we have been evangelized. You know, the whole way you look at it, how has your faith been deepened, and how have you helped others to walk closer to God? Let's talk about it. 833-288-3986. And let's face it, everybody does it a little differently. We know that. So let's really embrace this and see what we can learn by the end of this broadcast. Should we go to the phones, Jerry? Where are we going?
Yeah, Jesus is first in St. Cloud, Florida, beautiful area just south of Orlando. Hi, Jesus. Welcome to Take Two.
Hello, Jerry and Debbie. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Thank you. So I was born into the Catholic faith, and then I fell off, and then I was, you know, born again, saved through a street preacher, a Protestant street preacher, although very anti-Catholic, but, you know, God uses people in mysterious ways, right? And so I decided then to become a Protestant. And then now I'm a Catholic, of course. God led me through Scripture. And but during my Protestant times, I was able to get some tracts from a pastor, right? And on this track is invitation. It's an invitation to the great feast of the wedding, right? The wedding feast, right? Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, do I return them back to a pastor, or do I use them? You know, what do I do, Lord? I was praying, you know, what do I do? Because I'm no longer of Protestant faith. I don't want to participate in their faith. But I said, God, you know, and this was a Saturday. And the following day when I went to Mass, the reading was about the wedding feast.
And no
the
kidding.
Invitation is about the wedding feast, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, God gave me the confirmation to go ahead and pass out the invitations, right? So that's what I did. You know, I went out and I passed out the invitations to people. I went to the downtown Orlando area on a weekend where it's just, you know, and, you know, the governor opened the state up again. So no one's wearing masks. I was wearing a mask. And, you know, I was just passing them out and just telling them, you know, would you like to invite the Lord Jesus into your heart? You know, it's just a simple yes or no question. But, you know, it's an easy way compared to what I used to do, which was street preaching, which kind of turns people off away and it brings a negative reaction. But it's an easier way, you know, during this pandemic. You know, I'm in the midst, I'm in the crowd, passing out, you know, and just planting that seed, you know, in that way. And then when they, I ran into a Protestant who was doing the same thing, but I didn't know. I just saw a group of three men talking, having a conversation. I just walked up somewhere, would you like to accept Jesus into your heart? As I'm holding down the invitation. And then he just showed me his tracks. He's like, oh, I'm doing the same thing. But then he sees my rosary. He sees my rosary. And it just like, sparks could just, you could see sparks going off. You know, like a Catholic, you know, evangelizing,
right.
It must be 2020. The world is ending. So, yeah, you know, you could see them, you know, just like, no way, you know, because that's normally like a, you know, Protestant thing to do, you know, to go out into the battlefield and you know, evangelize people, you know, and I give them credit for that, you know, and I think we as Catholics, we need to do that more, you know, not be afraid. Although the enemy tries to stop you, to take away that enthusiasm to go out and evangelize and set fear on you and what people might say and how people might react. And yeah, you know, I got, you know, I went to this young girl. Oh, I'm a witch. Okay, you know, I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to tell you, oh, you're going to hell. You know, nothing like that. You know, I'm just going to move on to the next person, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a big deal, you know. So, you know, don't be afraid, you know, to the listeners to talk about Jesus. Don't be comfortable. Don't be that laborer who God gave the talent to, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jesus, let me jump in here for a second. This is fascinating, and I love your heart, your enthusiasm, and your passion for this. So did you have tracts that invited people to Mass, or were these the old Protestant tracts you were giving out? What were the tracts that you were giving out?
Well, the tracts are actual, it's a picture of like a wedding, you know, reception with the bouquets, and they're really nice tracts. With scriptures, right? And the main scripture on the top is, you know, the wedding feast, right? I think it's Matthew 22, if I'm not mistaken. Really, really nice tracts, which the pastor actually was handing them out for free. And so I kept one for myself. But the rosary, I wear the rosary out, and that automatically, you know, tells people that I'm Catholic right out of the gate. You know, it tells them that he's a Catholic. But even with that, you know, people, when I walk by people and I just, you know, ask them, some people say no, respectfully decline, but, you know, some people actually reach out, you know, and I pray to our Lord. I say, Lord, please put the people in my path that will, you know, you will give the increase. I'm just planting the seed, Father.
Right.
I'm just planting the seed.
Yeah. Hey, Zeus, let me ask you a question. On the tracks, do they have like a parish on there or any anything about the like Catholics come home or any type of ministry to bring them back? Or is this a generic Is this a generic material that you're using?
It's generic. I will on the next set of flyers, because I'm going to keep one for myself. I'm going to add, something about the Catholic faith. I don't know what. Maybe, something that may, CatholicComesHome.org, or, something that would would inspire them to get online and look.
Right. Well, here's a suggestion for you. Why don't you run those by your pastor right now and find out if there's something that is being used at the church that would maybe point them to the area? Because it sounds like you're going to these places to speak with people right around maybe the parish area. That's number one. The other thing, too, is contact Catholics Come Home. Contact them. I'm sure Ryan, I think it's Ryan is there, and Tom Peterson, and maybe they have something they can send you. That will actually be able to, it'll not only help you share some of the things or have the responses for people, but it'll go to the next step, so they have something to work towards to come into the faith or learn about the faith or whatnot. So I love your idea of getting out there. And just so you know, Catholics do go door to door. There's a beautiful order of nuns. I believe it's out of New York. They were out in Arizona for many years. I worked with them at a parish in Mesa, Arizona, and their door-to-door ministry. They knock on doors and evangelize, just like the street preachers. So it's being done. It needs to be done, so I think it at a greater level, and we just need to feel comfortable. Remember, we share a very, very deep, very vast faith, and so I think some people are a little hesitant to go out because you may get asked these questions that you can't answer. That's why to have the materials ready to go in your backpack or whatever you use to evangelize could really help you with that. So keep going. That's awesome. You're bringing people to the Lord. What do you think, Jerry? Jesus is doing the work.
I think it's fantastic, and I'm glad you pointed out the tracts and materials of Catholics Come Home. And Jesus, you probably already know about Catholic Answers as well. And quite frankly, that's how that... It is probably the most influential apologetics organization in the world, and maybe ever, as far as Catholic organizations. And it got its start, Jesus, exactly like what you're talking about. The founder, Carl Keating, came out of Mass one day, and there were anti-Catholic tracts on the car windshields. He says, well, and it gave a little stamp on the back, showed their church. And so he says, well, I think I'll go put some Catholic tracts on their windshields the next Sunday or whatever. And he started getting requests for more information, and he had to kind of come up with a name for his little, but he never intended to be an organization or a movement. And he says, we'll call it Catholic Answers, I guess. And that's how that got started. Jesus, your work, brother, is going to change lives, turn lives around. It's going to save souls. And we thank you for calling and sharing with us today. Debbie, I know I can speak for you. What a blessing to hear about efforts like what Jesus is doing.
Yes, and we're going to pray that you continue to have the words, the wisdom, the strength to go out there and meet others. I think it's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. We really appreciate your call and your contribution to the evangelization efforts. It's already turning out to be a great show, and I know, Jerry, you want to share some social media comments that are flying in.
Well, indeed, and we've got a lot of other calls to get to. So again, thanks, Jesus, for your participation in the program today. Anna Maria on YouTube watching the video stream says, I have found that letting the dogma live loudly in you is evangelization all in itself. Mm-hmm. Living your Catholic life with joy. People see the joy in you, the peace you have, and they want it. If it's all talk in the beginning and you're bitter or sour, forget it. It won't work. You can't plant the seed that way. So that's Anna Maria.
Well, real quickly, we'll talk about that, Anna Maria, when we come back. You hear the music. Very interesting that you just said that. You know, you don't want to be sour. You don't want to be grumpy. There's a reason for that, because we have to have that joy, and that's for sure. 833-288-3986. Tell us about your evangelization efforts during the pandemic. We want to hear from you. We're talking about evangelization during the pandemic, and you are calling in. We'll get to Patty and Margaret and Frank and Nancy in just a moment. But I want to just revisit, go back and swing back to Anna Maria's comment about having the dogma live loudly in you and to evangelize with joy. And it's a real turnoff to people if you just have this, you know, sour face, and the words that come out of your mouth are equally as bitter and stuff like that. And that is so true. I actually had a talk with a friend this weekend about this exact same thing. And not everybody will agree with me, but I'm just going to say it. I see a lot of stuff on social media. I even posted last night, got a lot of comments, and people were saying, yeah, I'm glad you keep bringing it up. It's great to tell the truth, and we should tell the truth, and we should be authentically Catholic, right? Okay, and we should tell the truth all the time. But with all the vilifying and demonizing and all the comments and attacking the person and labeling the person in this horrible and the vitriol, you name it, it's just, that is not going to help the effort. I'm sorry. I don't know where it is. If someone wants to call up and tell me, no, you're way off base. I went and called somebody every name in the book, and they came into the church because they were so, you know, thrilled about it. Then tell me, because I've never seen it. And I've been doing this for over 30 years. So I understand that there are people out there trying to do this ministry, and they have big followings and everything. God bless them. Okay. I haven't seen the fruit of that to be really, to manifest itself in a real, deep, authentic way. I think there's a lot of anger underneath. There's a lot of woundedness. And I understand that. I understand that. But what comes out of our mouth is very, very important publicly, especially. Let's face it, we're all going to say things, and it's bad enough and it's sinful enough behind closed doors. But when you put it out there publicly, people cannot take that off of them. Think about that. Think about that. I have such a problem with it. You know how I feel about labels, Jerry, and there are some good labels, but there are some labels that people can never shake off. And I'm sorry, I don't, maybe I need a priest to call in. I don't think that's of God. When you're putting these kinds of real horrible evil labels on people, right?
In Scripture, I believe it's Jesus is the one who says you'll be responsible for every idle word that you speak. So we need to be sure that everything that comes out of our mouths is going to be edifying to the other that we're speaking to, and glorifying God. So I agree with you completely on that.
Yeah. But I think that's what's happened with the pandemic. What have people done? We've lost community, right? So in order to have community, we have these virtual communities, and people are having lots of friends and a big following, and Twitter's going crazy all the time, right? And so that's what's happened. So we've transitioned to community on social media, and it can be really dangerous because nobody's really monitoring it for the for what's being said that is spiritually damaging. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to preach or anything. I've just seen a lot, and I've seen people just walk away going, I don't like this. Not only doesn't feel right, what I'm seeing it's not registering as something that is accurate. So it's just interesting. Let's just pray about it and think about it. You don't have to, dispute anything I say yet. Just think about it and look at social media and see if you agree with that or not. You have that, that's the ability of it. Okay, Patty. Oh, real quickly, did you see this wonderful comment that just came in on YouTube? Somebody bought our book and read it, Jerry.
Oh, that's nice. It looks like My Ear is the name. I hope I got that right.
Thank you.
I bought your book. I thought it was excellent. I tried to give it to my daughter, who stopped going to church. She didn't want any part of it. My Ear, she says, I am a failure, but I will keep trying. We need to change that way of thinking. All we are called to do is try. My Ear, all that we're called to do is try, put in the best effort that we can. You made that effort. God is going to bless your daughter through that. Your daughter will not forget that, right, Debbie? This is something that's going to stay with her daughter for a long time.
Absolutely. And thank you for buying the book. The book is Trustful Surrender. It's from EWTN Publishing. You can get it on EWTNRC.com. We're getting some great reviews from the book. Thank you. All you got to do is put it out on your coffee table, or put it out somewhere when your daughter visits or can see it. If you're virtually still getting together, put it behind you like I have it. Well, I don't have it right now because I'm not on Skype because I'm under the weather, but you'll see it behind on my bookcase. face. It's standing up so that people can just see it, and they'll always remember that. So maybe that's another way. But I agree with Jerry. Take out that word. It's not a failure. You. That was just a first attempt, right, Jerry? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Dee, we go back to your calls here. Evangelizing during the COVID pandemic, 833-288-3986. Patty, thanks for your patience in Barrie, Ontario, listening on Sirius XM 130 and a first-time caller. Hi, Patty. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, thank you so much. Hi. I'm so glad that you're taking my call. I listen to your show every day on my lunch hour.
Oh, bless you.
You're part of the lunch bunch, Patty.
I love it. I'll get a t-shirt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm glad that your last comment before my call was about the virtual communities that have developed out there, because my experience isn't so much about what I evangelized, but what I got from someone else's evangelization. Like a lot of people, like most people, during these times of COVID, I was forced into the virtual world for Mass. And I found some amazing homilists. And it was just such a joy to listen to these new perspectives. And, I mean, we love our parish priest. He's just incredible. My family loves him. But just discovering all these amazing pastors who have such... I found myself absorbing the word in a whole new way, being able to listen to so many different homilies too during those times where I was forced online. And now I find that even though we're able to go back to our church to celebrate Mass, I still like to look for those homilies online to supplement the message that we receive on Sundays in person. So had it not been for this unfortunate event here with COVID, I wouldn't have gone in search of these new new masses where I wouldn't have missed these amazing homilies and these amazing preachers sharing the word of God.
Well, and you know, interesting about that, Patty, I agree with you. I have posted, as you were talking, I was thinking about how many I repost of various homilies that people send me or I see on social media. And I couldn't agree more. It's so beautiful to get a feel for other priests around the country. And I believe you're in Ontario. So it's awesome to hear all these priests from all these different dioceses around the world. There's been a couple that came out of Italy as well. I mean, just beautiful. And I agree with you. And I think that's really helpful. Many times the homilies are short enough where you can watch them. And sometimes maybe somebody will go to a second homily or a third homily after that. If it transitions over to YouTube, they have other homilies listed there. And I think that that's excellent because that is the Word of God, the liturgy of the word, part of the Mass, which is so important, and a really strong catechesis in a shortened form. So it allows you to kind of whet your appetite, get a little bit deeper, and hopefully you take that and you continue on in your own life and you maybe study more in the catechism or in scripture. And I think that is so important. Now that to me is a great use of social media. And the beauty of that too is very often when somebody posts a homily, they'll say, this is a great homily by Father so-and-so, and that's it. And that's beautiful. Now, other people have said things, you know, wonderful statements from a homily. They'll say, Father said this in the homily, and then they go on and add their own personal comments, and their personal comments are great sometimes, and sometimes they're not. They'll say, see, this is what I told you about this, and this, and this person's bad, and this person's horrible, and I'll just pass right over it. For me, I just click it, it's gone, because that's not what I want. I want it straight from the priest. Let me hear it myself, and let's hear what it's all about. It sounds like that's really been helpful for you, Patty.
Absolutely. And it's almost building the reading from the gospel into almost a 3D image for me, where mm-hmm. I can find a new perspective, where I can also go and share it with my kids and right. make it a little bit more easy to digest for the little ones, right? So having the perspective from many different preachers has really been helpful in my understanding and in helping my kids to absorb a little bit more too.
Yeah, and see, Patty, that is, it's not only beneficial to you, but to your kids as well. They are the beneficiaries of all that is out there that is good. We all know that today social media can be quite the cesspool if you wander into the wrong areas. And I think, Debbie, I made a note for us to do a show on that. So with all of the junk that's going out over social media and so forth, the Lord still has raised up that platform, the social media, different platforms. And if we don't use it, you know, woe to us if we do not use it. And it's like a veritable banquet. It's like this big feast that we can go to. And like you said, Patty, watch different homilies. You can supplement what you're doing, watching the Mass or going to Mass in person. So I'm totally grateful for you for your calling in and sharing this with us today, because I think a lot of people are going to be edified by it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Patty. You're not a first-time caller anymore, okay? But you are part of the Lunch Bunch.
Thank you. I love it.
God bless, Patty. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. By the way, that's the first time I think I've used the Lunch Bunch. That was actually named by Father Doug Brown, the chaplain at Cleveland, AM 1260 The Rock. He says, oh, they're part of the Lunch Bunch, the Take Two Lunch Bunch. And I said, I'm going to use it on Monday. So I just did, Father Brown. If you're listening, Patty is our first official member.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thanks again, Patty. We're going to go to Margaret next in Troy, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio, and another first-time caller as we talk about evangelizing during the coronavirus pandemic. Hi, Margaret. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I would like to share with you that when my godmother died, she gave me and left me a picture of her blessed, picture of the Sacred Heart, and I have it on a hutch in my dining area. And I took that picture, and I had it copied and had those pictures blessed. And I was at a grocery store one day, and a man behind me, I was listening to him as was talking. He said, was he lamenting over the fact that one of the Catholic schools nearby was closing. And I said, sir, I have something for you in my car. So he followed me out to my car, and I took out one of those blessed pictures of the Sacred Heart, and I gave it to him, and he said, oh, my mother is just going to love this, and went off with a smile. And I'm looking through my notes here because I wanted to make sure that I gave you the information. You know, oftentimes, even at the grocery store, I will ask the clerks, and how is your day going? And they'll start lamenting over the different things that are going on in the day. And I said, you know, I'm Roman Catholic. I say Our Lady's Holy Rosary every night, and I will be remembering you in it. And their eyes will soften, and they'll say thank you. It is one of the best sleeping aids on the market today. I'm going to turn my page here.
Margaret, just a quick question to clarify. Your call was breaking up just a slight bit when you first started to talk. So who was it that gave you the Sacred Heart religious cards that you're talking about?
No, these are pictures.
Pictures, okay.
These are pictures that I had copied. There are 10 or 12 promises on the back of that picture, and one of them is that I will bless every home where a picture of my Sacred Heart is displayed in honor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. But where did you get these? Oh, so you got the pictures. Okay. We thought we heard you got them from somebody like your daughter or something.
No, my godmother.
Oh, your godmother. Okay. Yeah.
My godmother left me.
Okay, we couldn't hear. You know, it's interesting because you're named Margaret. That's my mother's middle name, and you know, Saint Margaret. Right, for the Sacred Heart. Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, so beautiful that you are so attached, and we all should be. I mean, a lot of people don't even know of the devotion to the Sacred Heart. They don't even know it. I actually have the Sacred Heart picture that was my childhood picture from when I grew up. And my mother gave it to me when she went into nursing care. And I'm looking at it right now, and it's just amazing because my mother has always felt that way too, because of her name being Margaret, for St. Margaret Mary Alico, Jerry. Yeah, mm-hmm. Devotion to Sacred Heart is very strong.
You know, I carry a Holy Rosary in my pocket all the time. I have gone to my local parish, and I asked I said, do you have any rosaries here? Yes, we do. We have a bag of them. We're going to send them to the missions. And they gave me a freezer bag full of these rosaries.
Oh,
people turn them in after someone dies because they don't know what to do with them. So they take them to the local Catholic church and leave them there. So I said, you know, we have missions right here in the United States of America. Can I have them? And she said, well, yes, you can. So I took the bag over to Father. I said, Father, would you bless these? And he looked a little bit puzzled because he was somewhat pressed for time. He said, how would it be? I just blessed the whole bag. I said, well, if it works for you, it works for me. he blessed the whole bag. And I set them out. Our grandchildren were here. I set them out on a counter. And I said, now, each of you kids is to take one of these, and you keep it in your pocket all the time. And I'm going to be checking. And when it, and I checked, I said, let me see that rosary you're carrying in your pocket. And I told you, you know, when it comes time to the reading of the will, if you haven't been carrying that rosary in your pocket, you might not get what we're going to have to give you.
Oh, my.
Let's see. I think I've covered a lot.
Yeah, Margaret, you, and I love that, you know, just putting that that little challenge upon your grandkids, you know, always have this rosary in your pocket, and I'm going to ask you, show me your rosary. I'm sure the part about the will you're not serious about, I wouldn't imagine, but Debbie, just think about, you know, kids learn religious principles and religious disciplines and so forth by having these things, you know, imparted to them at a very young age. And I can imagine, I can just see these grandkids of Margaret when they're adults still carrying that rosary around and saying, you know, Grandma Margaret said to always have it in my pocket.
You know? Absolutely. And I'll tell you that kids will remember that when they grow up. I used to always give, everybody knew that they could come into my office and there was a big, gigantic box of those. Remember those plastic stringed glow-in-the-dark rosaries? And the kids used to come in, and when we'd chat, because I was a religious education director, they'd get the rosary. It was blessed. And these kids carried it until some of them are in their
30s. Yeah, yeah.
So it stays with you, and it's a beautiful thing. And I used to tell them, just put it in your room. It'll glow in the dark all night long, right?
Absolutely. Margaret, thank you so much for joining us and gracing the program with your comments. We appreciate that. We're going to go to our dear friend Nancy in just a second. I just want to mention first that EWTN Publishing has come out with a new book, and we were talking, I was mentioning a few minutes ago, kind of the cesspool that social media has become, and really the culture at large has just degenerated so badly. And Father George Rutler has written a book that EWTN Publishing has come out with that I really strongly encourage you to get a copy of. It's called A Crisis in Culture, How Secularism is becoming a Religion. That's by Father George Rutler, and he talks about why the Catholic faith is the only means by which civilization can be restored, the most important virtue for young people today, so he addresses young people in the book, what happens when we let the government rather than the church become our, quote, mother, and so much more. Father George Rutler, A Crisis in Culture, shop EWTNRC.com and look for that book today.
Real quickly, while you've got that document up, can you read Glorianne real quick on Facebook? She tried twice. I just want to make sure we get to her real fast. You see what she says there?
Yeah, Glorianne says, I try to bring Christ to people all the time by looking out for anyone in trouble when I am out. I also try to give anyone who needs money, money. Don't question, just give them something. People are desperate right now.
Yeah. Wow. See, remember that, folks. People are desperate right now. That's why they need really uplifting people and words around them, because people are struggling. Nancy, thank you for waiting in Spencer, Massachusetts, Sirius XM 130. Our friend Nancy, hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way I have spread evangelization is through Immaculate in Kahibo, Rwanda. She was the only one that survived the genocide. And she was taught by Mary Claude the Seven Sorrows Rosary, which is absolutely beautiful. It links the suffering that Mary had all her life about Jesus and his dying. And it is, I have to push it. I've been passing them out to my friends, and I think it is just uplifting.
Wow. Well, Nancy, thank you for calling in. First of all, we really appreciate you. You're part of the Stantall family. And you're referring to, I believe, Immaculee Ilibagiza. Is that correct, Nancy?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah, briefly, her story is absolutely amazing. During the Rwandan genocide, she and a few others were hidden in some people's bathroom for, I don't remember how long it was, but almost certain to die. It was certain that they were going to die if they were discovered. And so she's got that story to tell, Debbie. And it's such a story of hope. I mean, you think about something like that, and you think, what are the odds of coming out of that alive? Mm-hmm. And yet her first book is called Left to Tell, Discovering mm-hmm. God Amidst the Rwandan Holocaust. It's kind of an autobiographical work.
So the Seven Sorrows Rosary is the way you evangelize, Nancy. And so that is what, you know, when it's put on our hearts to do that, you know, great things will come and people will come to the faith. They'll have a deeper understanding, a deeper prayer life. And that's all because you were open to it, Nancy. It changed you. And now you send it forth for others to learn and to grow and to get closer to God. That's how evangelization works. That's how ministry works. That's how, you know, really you're a catechist, Nancy, and you're out there helping others to fall in love with God. Remember, we're made to know, love, and serve God. Well, you have to have the things around you and the understanding and the words coming at you and the sharing of stories and the invitation to deepen your prayer life in order for that to manifest. So way to go, Nancy. Plus, you're an incredible poet, and we love all of your poetry because that's another God-given gift that you have. And thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Well, thank you. It was nice talking, and I love you both.
Well, we love you too, Nancy.
I love you too, Nancy.
Thank you so very, very much for calling in on the program. We appreciate it. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Can I share this real quickly? That this came in right before the show. It was very interesting, and
sure,
we could probably talk about it more tomorrow. But this came in from one of our listeners, Marianne, and she said that she was reading something this weekend, and I'm going to paraphrase, but this wonderful lady was doing a reflection on the pandemic and everything that's going on in the world, and you know, people, all the everything that's, you know, people are all divided, and you know, people are angry, and depression is on the rise, and all sorts of stuff. And she was reflecting on this idea of the masks, you know, how we're all wearing these masks to slow the spread, right? To stop the spread. And she actually said that after deep prayer, it came to her in deep prayer that maybe the masks are a way of God telling all of us, see, I just could feel the Holy Spirit even as I'm saying this. This is incredible. And this is the second time this happened. That maybe God's trying to tell us also from a spiritual standpoint that what comes out of our mouths publicly has a ripple effect, and it can hurt others as well as help others. And maybe it's a time that we take notice that we should stop maybe speaking so much publicly, in the sense of just the casual speaking when people are super angry and stuff and really going at it. And maybe this is wearing the mask is kind of a form of reparation for that, for the sins of that. For, you know, because it says many times in scripture, you know, that we, that what, you know, like everybody wants to proof text, right? Pull out something out of context, like when Jesus said, "Oh, you brood of vipers," you know, everybody goes, "See, he was so powerful." But go on to read the second part of that. Nobody, everybody stops short, you know? He says, what comes out of your mouth, it's not good, you know, so be really careful, you know, if you think you might be saying something really good, but if you have, like, you know, evil inside of you from it, and now you're spewing it, that's not helping to build the kingdom, right?
Yeah. Well, and just tagging on to that just a little bit here, how many times do you, with the mask on, you're trying to communicate with someone, and they say, "What? Huh? Mm-hmm. I can't hear you." Maybe it is better that we just, you know, another form of speaking is social media. Let's remember that. Email, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of them. That's really speech on our part. So we need to be careful what we communicate there as well. And Debbie, I know tomorrow, I think I put this one on the topic, maybe you did, but I'm looking so forward to our conversation tomorrow about how the world has changed in our lifetime. We want, dear listeners, be thinking about that. We know technology has changed so much. We know that so many things have changed. Have we lost our ability to respect one another, to love one another? We want to hear from you tomorrow, how the world has changed since you were younger, and we want your thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's for tomorrow's show. Thank you so much for being with us and making this another great take two. And if we show up on your radio station at noon, then you're part of the lunch bunch. We love that, right, Jerry?
Oh, I'm getting hungry. By the way, Zach emailed in for Jesus. He says, "Dear Jerry and Debbie, your caller Jesus may also like St. Paul Street Evangelization."
Yes.
St. Paul Street Evangelization, Jesus, if you're still listening. All right, we want to thank our show team, Michael, Jeff, and Ryan, and the affiliates for carrying the program. It's a Monday, folks. I get a pass on a couple things. Have a beautiful and blessed day.